Good morning. It is good to see everybody here. And you probably all are, well, some of you may be dealing with a lot of the same things I'm dealing with this morning. This weather going from hot to cold has got my sinuses in peril today. But you know what? When it starts warming up later this week, then the pressure will leave and I'll be back to normal and breathing again. So, but it's all right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 3 John. In 3 John, in verse 2, and when you get there, I'd like to ask you to please stand as we read from God's Word. 3 John and verse 2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we want to thank you, Lord, for your abundance. We want to thank you for the reading of your wonderful word. And God, we pray that today, Lord, we will learn from you about prospering in this life, but prospering in the things that you want us to have and experience, Lord. And God, we pray today that God, you will just change our hearts and lives. Let us receive from this message. And Father, as I preach this message, let every word come through you, from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. You may be seated. Now, I'm preaching a prosperous life. And a lot of you might be thinking different thoughts about a prosperous life. But basically, this is talking about the wellness of our physical body and as well, spiritual growth. The priority of spiritual health, this is as your soul is getting along well. A healthy soul is a paramount. John recognized Gaius' spiritual strength first. He was a prosperous soul. It means to walk in truth, to walk in faithfulness, and to walk in love. Now, if your soul is going to grow in God, we always all have to realize and recognize that God is love. And every good thing that comes to our lives, it comes from God. And we have got to practice daily walking in the truth of His Word. We have to speak the truth of His Word. And we also have to be faithful in our lives. Now, I want to kind of hit on this for just a moment, because I know that we all fail, we all go through trials, we all mess up, but don't let that stop you from pressing forward toward what God has laid out in front of us. Now, I'm going to try to get through this with my sinuses and my voice. Just bear with me this morning. But if we will walk faithfully, now Jesus was our teacher. He walked very faithfully with the Father. He was obedient in all of the teachings of God the Father. He never strayed off on His own. He never tried to do His own thing. Every time in His life when He came up against something, He would always bow before God the Father. And He would always ask God the Father, "What is your will for my life?" Now, there's many times Jesus probably said, "Well, that's not how I want it to go, but I'm willing to put myself aside and I'm willing to walk in the calling that you've placed upon my life." Now, this is especially true with the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus knew what was about to happen, and He didn't want to have to go through that. I mean, how many of you, knowing you were going to be beaten and then nailed to a cross, would want to endure that pain? How many of you would be willing to physically die for somebody else? But Jesus looked beyond what his own feelings, what his own wants were, and Jesus looked ahead and he saw every life of every believer that would ever live. And Jesus said, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." So Jesus was showing true faithfulness in his walk with God and in the ministry that that he had to work. And then love. I'm gonna get through this. My throat wasn't doing this during Sunday school, but the moment I get up here to preach, now it starts. So walking in love. We've got to, as God loves us, so we have to love one another. See, God doesn't pick things about you that he wants to love. God loves you for who you are. God sees you. God sees Sarah Lipe. He sees Jane Evans. And he loves, he sees everybody. And he loves everything about you. Even when we have rebelled against God before we became his children, do you know that God still loved us despite the things we did? I had a Sunday school teacher one time said, okay, he said, God loves us, his children, so much. But he said, do you realize how much God loves the sinner? And it never really entered into my heart and my mind. But as I thought about this, I'm thinking, yeah, Jesus loves everybody. The Lord loves everyone so deeply because all he wants to do, he wants to touch our hearts, and he hopes that we will respond to him and that we will accept his invitation of love into our life to change us from the inside out. But for the Lord to love his children, we also know that he does love those who are in their sins. So before you became a child of God, he loved you as you were. He saw the possibility. And that's kind of what is laid out before you and I. We have to love others around us. We can't pick and choose what we want to love about people. We have to love everybody. As Christian people, we have to love everyone, and we have to love them all the same. And how do we love? Well, we draw that kind of love from God. You and I don't have the power to love the way that we should. We have to draw that love and that power from God the Father. And what the Lord pours into us, we are able on a daily basis, even when we're too tired. I want to tell you this. I've had times in my life as a pastor where I had maybe an exhausting week, and I'd be at home thinking, oh, I get to rest. I don't have to deal with anything else. And then the telephone would ring just like that. And then there'd be a situation. And I would already be so exhausted mentally and physically or whatever, because I don't know, if anybody's ever walked in the footsteps of ministry, it can be a very lonely place sometimes. It can be very trying. But during these moments when people were in need, when I was tired, I realized I could not give to them what I was going through at the moment because I wouldn't be able to feed them. But I would have to go to God and say, Lord, pertaining to this situation that I'm dealing with, and sometimes I'm praying in my mind as I'm on the phone with somebody or in their presence, and I'm saying, Lord, I need a refreshing. I need your Holy Spirit to awaken me, to quicken me, because I need to reach this person in whatever manner and in whatever depth according to your love. And I will guarantee you that if you will always ask God to work through you and to let his love be manifested in your life, he will do just that. I'm going to get me a drink. I'm sorry. It's funny how I woke up fine and then now it's. And now I'm dribbling water everywhere. Hey, I'm on a roll this morning. Hey. Now the inside of our lives will shape the outside. True spiritual prosperity is having Christ at the center of your life, and that enables us to handle life's trials. So what's going on the inside? That's what shows on the outside. If you've got a life of turmoil, if you're filled with anger, if you're filled with sadness, if you're filled with negativity and defeat, you know what's going to happen on the outside? It's going to show. It's going to hit you physically. It's going to hit you medically. It's going to hit you psychologically. And it will tear your life apart if you are not embedded in Christ. If you are not dependent upon the Lord and His power, then you're not going to be able to handle the storms when they happen. How many of you have ever been through maybe something really major that you thought, man, how did I ever get here? I've been in plenty of places in my life where I've sat down and I've cried and I've said, God, what is going on? What are you trying to do through me? Now, was I angry? Oh, yeah. Have I been aggravated with God? Yes. But one thing I've never let happen, I've never let my faith waver in the Lord. But to sit there and pray and say, Father, whatever it is, I will remain steadfast. I will not waver in my faith because I know that Jesus has walked through some fiery trials. I know that the disciples faced things that they couldn't have encountered all on their own. But because of their walk with the Lord Jesus, because of their love, because of their testimony and what God had done in their life, they were able to stay rooted in God's love and have joy abounding. I'll use this as an example. I worked at John A. Logan for 12 years. I always received outstanding employee awards every year. Every year they did the awards. Well, not just me, ever. There's a lot of people did. And then the day came that they started giving layoff notices at the college. Well, we were living in a house that was 2,000 square foot out in the country, and it was a big house. And we thought we had it good for quite a few years. And then all of a sudden, I'm called down to HR, and they said, well, sorry, but I was one of those in that group of people that got laid off. And I thought, wow. So I left the college that day. I called Janine on the phone, and I said, well, it's happened. And she said, what? I said, I got laid off. I said, I don't have a job at college right now. And she said, God will take care of it. And I'm thinking, wow. I was expecting her to maybe be upset or something. And as I drove away from the college that day, this is what I realized. I don't get through this life by my own merits. I don't get through this life by my own works. Not everything's always going to be rosy. Not everything's always going to be easy. But here's the one thing that I thought about. Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will be with you always until the end. So here I am without a job. Now I was still pastoring the church in Benton part-time and it was $50 a week. And I thought, well, you know what, Lord, you can take anything and you can make something come out of it. So I took the time to praise God and thank Him for the job that I had while I had it. And then I started to thank God for the open doors. I didn't sit there and say, well, God, you took my job away and now I'm going to lose this. I'm going to lose that. We're going to go through hard times. I'll probably end up divorced because we just can't make it. I could have gone that route, but it would have never solved the problem. But by placing faith in God and realizing that what's on the inside is more powerful than what's out there in the world. There's a lot of forces out in the world, a lot of demonic, that will attack you, that will attack your life. If you let it defeat you, then you've got a problem. But as a child of God, you have the ability that even if you can't stand, to hit your knees, get on your face, and praise God that He is still with you through it all. I want to ask you a question. I want you to ask yourself this. Is my spiritual life thriving or am I just surviving? I hope none of us as Christians ever get ourselves into survival mode. That's not how God intended us to live. I told you the story already about a member of a family who lost a loved one a few months ago. But a greater testimony, a couple weeks ago, as I'm walking through the line at a visitation of a dear friend of mine and pastor, and as I walk up to the casket, his wife is sitting there in a chair. And I went up to her and I said, I am so, so sorry for your loss. And she says, oh no, there's no loss. She said, he's gone on to a better place. And I said, well, you're right, Carolyn. I said, he's alive. I said, he may have left us, but see, in the moment of the death of her spouse, she was choosing to trust God and praise Him through the trouble that was going on in her life. And she said, I know that I will see Him again. And she said, I know that I'll never be lonely because the Lord is with me. How many of us would say that when we're going through difficult seasons in our life? How many of us are willing to say, no matter what happens, I will come out of this, and I will come out of this praising God. I had a pastor say something to me one time. He said, if you'll start praising God in the midst of your trouble, he said, God will pour out an abundance of peace upon you. How we act dictates how God responds. I want you to think on that. How we act to a situation or how we react to a situation, that dictates how God responds. If we act out in disbelief and anger, God can't move because the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. We must believe that He is who He says He is, and we must believe that He can do all things no matter where we're at. Well, let me get on with my little testimony here, then I'll quit that. So, I went out, I started putting in resumes, started applying for jobs, and you know what? I thought, I don't care. I didn't care if I had to go to McDonald's and flip hamburgers. I was going to make money to take care of my family and to tithe and do whatever. So I said, God, you open the doors and you make things happen. Well, right after that layoff happened, well, I found out that through a certain program, I was able to get the same paycheck every 2 weeks that I'd been making while I was working at the college. It was just for a certain period of time. But then God started to really move, and every day that I would get up, I didn't curse God for what happened, and I didn't get angry with Him. I was angry at first. I was a little troubled. But the more I started to praise God and turn to Him, God finally opened up a door for me. And God started to open up other things in our lives. And God started to restore everything that what we thought. Now, there's going to be times we're going to lose things, but God will always restore the things we've lost with things that are even better. And I want to say this. I'm getting ready to get into this next section of the sermon. The things that God gives us, we should never expect material things. We should never expect money. How many of us ever get that thought? I can tell you this. I've listened to preachers on TV, and then I'm going to get into this next section. I've listened to preachers on TV who take that Bible verse that I read this morning, and they'll turn it around, and they'll start preaching at you how to get rich. And a lot of them will do it by saying, if you sow your money into my ministry, God's going to provide. And I've heard some of them come up with some outlandish stories. And there's one guy on TV that I'm sorry, I can't stand to listen to him. But he said one time, he said, I told the Lord that if I was lying, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. And I was sitting there going, Lord, let his tongue stick, please. I know it's a wrong thing to say, but he's telling people that if they would sow all of their money, even if they were broke, take a credit card and sow in, and that they would be blessed financially. See, the things that God gives us are not always going to be material possessions. God will always meet our needs, and God knows our needs before we even ask, and God will always provide. Now, the purpose of physical and material health is that we can enjoy good health and that everything will go well. God cares for every person. God's not only interested in our spirits, but He's also interested in our physical well-being. God uses health as a tool for service. Physical strength and physical strength and resources are meant to be used for the gospel, hospitality, and supporting the truth. Now, I want to touch on this. Yeah, it's important for us to take care of the soul. We've got to pray. We have to read. We have to serve. We have to walk it. And we've got to believe it. And our souls will prosper. But just as well, God created your physical body. And God intended for each and every child in His family to take care of that physical body. That means to feed it right, to take care of it, not to misuse it, not to abuse it and mistreat it. But I think God has given us all a level of responsibility. Now, I'll say this. There was a time in my life that as a pastor, I weighed 135, 140 pounds. And I was a beanpole, kind of. And I had preachers come to me and said, hey, you want to go out with us to have breakfast? You want to go out with us and have lunch? Sure. And this started to turn into a ritual. And I soon found myself eating way more than I should have been eating. And over time, I gained an excessive amount of weight. I was in bad health. I was going to the doctor constantly, and I was on prescription medicines, a lot of them. And finally, I remember one day going into the doctor, and this is what my doctor said to me. He says, do you not care about your body? Do you not care what God thinks of you and what you're doing to the body He created? He said, your numbers are so bad right now, you should be dead. He said, I've never seen anybody with 525 cholesterol, bad cholesterol, and triglycerides over 3,000. He said, you should have died of a heart attack by now. He said, God has a reason for you. Don't you think you ought to be taking care of yourself? And the moment that I left the doctor's office, I started thinking about my life, drinking sodas all the time, eating junk food and sugar and fried foods and bad oils, all this stuff. Now, I'm not preaching at anybody to make you feel bad. I'm preaching this to make you think. God created your body, and we should take care of it. I mean, who, I don't know if you remember the commercial. Dr. John McConaughey years ago was a chiropractor in Carterville, and he used to say, if you wear out your body, where are you going to live? And I started thinking about that. The doctor said to me, don't you care what you're doing to your body? And as I drove home and I was thinking about these words, they were ringing through my head. I thought, I've got to make a change. So I was also at stage three kidney failure on top of that. Doctor told me if I drop one more point, he said, you drop one point, you're going on dialysis. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm not doing this. I went home, threw out all the bad food. I went to the store. I bought healthy fish. I got fish oil. I got off the soda pop. Now, at that time, I was still drinking a soda now and then, but not three and four and five a day like I was. And I started walking a couple miles a day. And it took time, but I started to lose the weight that I'd put on. And over time, I went back and I took all of my medications into my next doctor visit, and I laid everything on his desk. I said, I don't want these anymore. Now listen. Brother Jim is not telling you to take your medications and go to your doctor and throw them on the desk. I'm not telling you that. So please don't go out of here today. And anybody who listens to this message online, I'm not telling you to go to the doctor and throw your medications on the desk and walk away. I'm not. God gave us doctors and God gave us medicines for a reason. I chose to go to the doctor a lot and I chose to take the medicines that they were throwing at me. I wanted to make a change for me. I wanted off my medicine, so I did it. And that's where I stood with it. And my doctor said, I believe that you are finally making good progress. He said, I got your lab results back. And he said, your triglycerides are now under 115. And he said, your bad cholesterol is way down. He said, you're good. He said, so whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And so I got back into health and running and working out and physical fitness things. When Bill had called yesterday, I told him, I said, sorry, Bill, I'm at the gym. I'll have to get back with you when I'm back home. But anyway, I'll quit chasing a rabbit around the tree. God expects you and I to take care of this physical body because He created you and He expects you to take care of your body. That's all I'm going to say about that. Not a prosperity gospel. This is the point that I wanted to touch on. This is a prayer for wellness. It's not a guarantee of wealth. It distinguishes between temporary blessings and eternal life. You remember the rich man in the Bible when he asked Jesus, what do I have to do to follow you? Jesus said, I want you to sell everything. I want you to get rid of everything. I want you to become nothing and follow me. Well, we know that the Bible says that this troubled the rich man because he had a lot of possessions and he walked away in sorrow because Jesus told him, I want you to get rid of everything that's of this world and I want you to open your spirit to me. I want you to let me work through you. I want you to experience life in a new way. And it troubled the man and he walks away from Jesus and he's sad. And he goes back to what he had. See, here's the thing. Everything that's on the face of this earth, every material man-made thing, one day it's not going to be here. I've even said this too. The Bible tells us to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doesn't destroy and where thieves can't break in and steal it. But too many people are worried about building an empire on the face of this earth. Well, here's what's going to happen. This is a truth. You can amass a lot of wealth around you and a lot of material things, but here's the fact. One day, you're going to pass away if Jesus doesn't come back first. And here's what happens. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to make a valid point. When you die, what happens? Well, you don't take your stuff with you. What happens to your stuff? A lot of times it gets distributed throughout family members. Other times family members just have a big sale and they sell all your stuff. It's gone. So everything that people have worked so hard to gain while they were here, when they die, it's not theirs anymore. It's gone. It's sold. And it doesn't mean nothing. But if you will set your sights out forward and ahead on the Lord, and if you'll start storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven, I'll tell you what, you're going to enjoy life a whole lot more. And when you die and leave this world, you won't take nothing with you. But if you lived for the Lord, and if you lived in the spiritual, if you lived to produce good fruit in your life, then you're going to enter into the joy of the Lord, and the Lord's going to show you all the good things that you've worked for. Everything He wants to reward you with. That's why I heard Laura saying in Sunday school, I walked in kind of late this morning, but I'll put this maybe in a nutshell and I'll close this up. We're supposed to live and give to others, but we have to be careful that we're not given into their problems, making their problems happen. But here's what we are to do. We are to give of ourselves to people, not just money or material things, but we are to give ourselves as a living sacrifice to go up to somebody on the street and tell them about Jesus. You know, I'm guilty of this. I drive past these people sitting on these street corners, whether it's in Carbondale or Marion. I've seen them in Harrisburg. I've seen them in every town. And I've driven by and I've thought, well, the stories that I hear about, I talk to police and they say, well, we busted up a ring of them and they're professional beggars. But that right there should not deter me from doing what God's called me to do. That I should be going up to these people. I should be able to go up to anybody on the street or at my workplace or even in the store, and I should be able to share with them the love of the Lord. And I should be able to share with them what He's done in my life. See, this whole verse that we prosper and be in good health as our soul prospers, if we're doing everything right for the Lord and our soul, then I want to tell you this, your health is going to prosper greatly. I've seen God do some miracles in people's health. I've seen perfectly healthy people that just died and don't know why. But that's all up to God. God says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this is judgment. But don't concentrate on death. I want you to concentrate today on living your life for the abundance of God. Live your life to prosper in the soul. Because if you prosper in the soul, you're going to also prosper within the physical body. I would just say this to you real quick and then I'll close. How many of you have ever known somebody that you just, someone say, well, man, that person lives such a good life, you could just see Jesus oozing out of them. Anybody ever know somebody like that? I know Laura's mentioned people in her family that were like that. That's the kind of people we need to be. We need to be the kind of people that are willing to go out of our comfort zone and go after the ones who don't know Jesus. We're to be the ones who witness. We're the ones that we should show with our life that Christ is real and that Christ is alive inside of us.